Haven't got a lawsuit yet.
On delay.
Why don't you take this thing over?
Well, you said you were coming. It's only my job if you're not here.
Loser. All right. Are we ready?
We're not sure we're recording.
No.
We're not sure we're recording? We are recording or?
We don't know.
Yeah, so we'll wait.
You mean I rushed to get here and we're not recording? So give me the high sign when we're good to go.
Let's try it. I'll try to take good notes.
I think Anne's had a kind of day I've had.
I heard a thing that says we are.
I did hear that.
Yeah, that's true.
We're talking now.
About it.
So like I tried to do the camera and it did like infinite windows in where the camera's supposed to be. So that kind of scared us.
Okay. That makes sense.
So she went to call it, but I think we can go ahead and get started.
Outstanding. Well then, what's that?
I just took it onto my iPad. The hooks are down.
All right, I think everyone's connected. We're gonna go ahead and call this meeting to order of the Othello Planning Commission meeting for May 19th, starting at 6:03. Hopefully we're recording. If not, we'll have to repeat it exactly so everyone take notes. First item is, I believe Maria is...
Maria is online.
Online, so we have the full commission here tonight. And we will go ahead and we will take roll. I will recognize Maria Martinez online.
Ruth Sawyer.
Alma Carmona.
Chris Doro.
Daniela Voorhees.
Rob Simmons.
Jay Garza.
All present. Public input. Is there any public input to be added tonight? Nope. Fantastic. I think we're still finding out if we're recording. So we'll move on to approval of the minutes. From April 21st, 2025.
I move to approve.
Yeah. Were there any edits that we need to be aware of, Anne?
I sent them to Bob Carlson and he gave me back his comments before I sent them out to you, so we're good.
Did anyone else have anything else? Mm-hmm. All right, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor of accepting the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed,
aye.
Same sign. Minutes are approved.
And I get who was the motion and who was the second there?
Motion.
Second.
Sorry.
Okay, thank you.
We could verify that on the recording, maybe. I'm sorry. That's all righty. Moving on to training update, Open Public Meeting Act. What do you got for us, Ann?
So I did hear from Ruth and Rob that they did the training recently. Chris is good until 2026. Alma is good until November.
You need me. Don't look at me.
All of you, we need to have you just do that 20-minute training, please.
Oh, sorry.
Alma might be plotting to take on a new role in November.
Where she would still need open public meeting training.
Oh, you'd have to do it again.
Next November, I got
them. So that's where we're at on that?
I just wanted to.
I'm gonna check these at every meeting until we're all caught up. All righty, I like that. So no pressure on those of you who haven't done it yet. Five until 2026.
I got it.
Check.
Adding it to my calendar now.
Assuming I'm not removed in the future. Let's move on to zoning update and housing action strategies. This I'm looking forward to talking about. So that would start on page.
Page 7 of the packet.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh man, I wasn't sure what went wrong there. Hard to tell if I was right.
7 is the staff report. And I think I'll start kind of from the back of the staff report. We did talk about some things last time, kind of resolve those. I feel like, I know the direction, so put those in the draft the way it is. The size of the house, the setbacks, overhangs, the landscaping for multifamily. We discussed all that. So then what's left is to talk about townhouses, cottages, the definitions section, and some things in the general provisions. So we can kind of start any of those places that people want to. I did put a lot of stuff about townhouses this time, and so maybe we should start there so we can not have to repeat it in a future meeting if we don't get through everything. So, you know, I was looking at standards and compiled all those pictures, and then I realized that we had talked about only allowing it in R3 and R4, where you could build a triplex or a fourplex.
Right.
So why would you put additional rules on something if it's for ownership that you wouldn't put on something that was for a rental?
Garage situation that we're talking about with that, or are we talking about something else in that regard?
Situation?
When you're talking about additional rules that are not consistent with R3 and R4, I saw, the garage, like for a triplex, I don't believe we require garages for that, correct?
That's true. That is correct.
So what would be the other things that would be different that we had on this list? That's the only one that jumped out at me. Did anyone else find something else?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I know we had discussed at the, not the last meeting, but the meeting before, that was one of the debates, was whether we would have garages or not as a requirement with these.
I thought the discussion was just that the garage would come from the front or the back. We said it should come from the alley if they're going to be close to the street.
Yeah.
So what I remember is, yeah, not allowing it from the street, and then also potentially not requiring a garage for a townhouse.
And that would be in the case when we kind of invade to change the setback. Was the purpose for doing that? Is that correct?
I think we talked about how it wouldn't look very good to have garages from the street in that situation, because one would be, because it'd be two-car garage, right, requirement? And so the only conversation I remember having on that would be a setback garage, because we talked about townhouses being able to be closer to the curb. And so we said it would look better if it was accessed from the alley.
And I thought we talked about it messing with landscaping too, because of the driveway.
So.
We'd like to look.
And all of these would have from alley access in the townhouse setup, is that correct?
Alley or something.
Sort of a common driveway, if there is no alley access.
I remember it just being the only way that a garage would be allowed is if there was alley access. And that would.
Since we really don't require that for triplexes and quadplexes. I guess I started thinking about that situation, that why would we have that requirement that way?
I think maybe how I understood it was that we said if you wanted to do garages, it had to be accessible from this area specifically, but they weren't required.
Garages aren't required, but if built.
They have to be alley.
Access from the alley.
Yeah.
But, so we have only alley access, is that correct for the parking when it comes to townhouses? That's the way I read it.
It was all rear parking, right?
That's what we discussed.
Yeah.
I'm not against that.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I'm on the same page.
I think that's kind of where the discussion was going. I don't remember where we ended.
I couldn't remember if we talked about having a parking area in front, if that's okay though.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember.
I just, like I said, when I went back and revisited that, I liked the idea of changing the setback in the case of townhouses in the courtyard, because if we're going to require parking in a different place, I'd like to create space elsewhere. So I like that. if that's the requirement, that makes more sense to me. My concern is if we do that, I mean, if you're going to put up a quadplex or a triplex in an R3 or R4, you got a lot of freedom to do that. What I like about this being more of a planned sort of thing, I think it gives us that ability to do that, but also to invade that typical, to change the setback in this case. And if that's, as long as we have the required parking covered in a reasonable way, I think it's great.
But there's not required parking for this, is there?
There would be.
There would be?
Yeah. And that was, I wanted to verify that as well.
Yeah, okay.
And then, like I said, I guess how I envision this, it's not been utilized very much. So how is this going to be utilized? This is probably going to be utilized. We have you have a big potential development that you could have on AJ's property. You have a big one potentially on Hamptons. And potentially you might have the one out at Stone and Connors as well. I think it's a lot. With three of those going, but if townhouses are in the mix, how do we best facilitate that happening and looking the best at the same time while allowing some freedom in how they're built?
So I have a general question. I think when it comes to these townhouses and these cottages, townhouses look really nice when there's a whole street or a few blocks of them, right?
You're hitting what I'm thinking there, Rob.
But what if someone just built a townhouse on one lot,
right,
a couple townhouses, and then everyone else is something different? So it almost seems like to me these would be things that would be built in planned developments.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I was thinking about that as I was reading through. It's like, why are we making these rules for who's going to take a 1.5 acre piece of property and make a bungalow court on it in the middle of a bunch of other things that aren't that? Or who's going to build a...
We do have something like that now, though.
Where?
Hawks Landing. It's surrounded by a bunch of single-family dwelling houses.
No. But to me, that's just two triplex that face each other.
That
right?
Looks like yeah.
It does have a courtyard in the middle, though.
Yeah. I get that, but that, I mean, these bungalow courts are different. I mean, they're sometimes on, like, 2 acres, and there's 18... Some of these pictures, I like them, but they're...
I mean, I just think it might be worth going through it. And I mean, it can be done. I mean, it's not exactly a courtyard bungalow, but it sort of resembles one. So on the chance that somebody does buy two lots next to each other and wants to do this, or buy one lot and finds a way to do it, we'll have all this done.
See, I hear what you're saying. I actually am a lot closer to where Rob is on this, is with some future developments, I would like to create some freedom to do this to where it makes sense. Because I agree with Rob. I think piecemeal in Othello proper right now, you're probably better off making a triplex or a quadplex in the R3s and R4s. And I think that's going to be more applicable unless you can buy up a whole block. But in AJ's development, mm-hmm, in the future one, and that's where, again, where we're talking about planned developments, does this set the stage for that? And are we setting a stage that allows this to be considered within that development? I guess, how do you see this? And that's kind of what I, as I went through this, this is where I went.
I think if you're leaning toward it should be a planned development, then let's not spend a lot of time trying to figure out what they might want and just have them come to us with a proposal. Because we're not going to be able to foresee everything, and they're going to have to go through the process anyway. So why spend a bunch of time figuring out something that they're going to have to custom make themselves?
That's where I'm at with it. I almost think that if we had some verbiage that said, we think these are a nice way to build, but we would encourage it to be part of a planned development, then it can be, each one can be reviewed for setbacks and everything, yeah.
But still allowing that setback to be different, that makes sense to me.
Yep.
That makes sense to me in that case. If we have that, I'm trying to figure out how to make this work.
They're probably going to request it because, I mean, that's what they did for Palos Verdes. they requested a minimized setback on that. And so I would imagine that would be part of the plan development request. That's just my feeling on it. I was thinking we could go through with all these details, and if someone had a great idea but didn't fit into one piece of it and says, I'm not going to do it, they're going to do a plan development anyways.
Who recruited you for the planning commission?
That's a great point, Rob. That's kind of where I'm struggling with as well.
Does that make sense at all?
Yeah.
Basically, like the same thing what we did with the college one, but yeah.
I mean, sometimes we overcomplicate things trying to.
What's this wee stuff?
Fair. Very fair. Bob, I see you giggling. I'm not taking it personally a little.
So then with that.
So what do we want to do with
where
this?
Where do we go? Yeah, how do we go forward with that now?
Was there other setbacks? I know we kind of just went off.
Well, we kind of talked about reducing setbacks for everyone.
I mean, the problem is I really like the plan. I just started having problems with applying it everywhere and how that would look. Like I said, the piecemeal example, I think, is great. That's what I struggled with.
I got the impression that a couple of those pictures and that you shared in our packet were likely planned developments and not just someone building off of code from that city.
Probably.
You saw it the same way. I did the same thing. I was like going, man.
They look nice though. I like them.
Sure.
The ones from Coeur d'Alene, I want to move there. You know, those are beautiful.
They are nice.
Well, another thing that I looked at was some of those little cottages wouldn't make, I mean, if you want to put a garage, and the requirement of a two-car garage would look ridiculous with a cottage that small. So maybe you need to look at maybe having one of the parking spaces in the garage.
Yeah.
And not necessarily have to have two, right? But.
Well, that would count as one of the two.
I don't mean two total because I feel like Bob just burned a hole in my side of my head when I. So that, I mean, you don't have to have two in a garage.
I can verify that would happen.
but there's a way to get the parking without necessarily requiring a two-car garage, maybe, and that would all be things that the developer could come to request, right?
Yeah, parking in a garage is very easily converted into storage and not usable for parking.
You know what? There's a lot of two-car garages that are used that way, too, so it doesn't matter if it's a single or a double or a triple.
Right. So setbacks, this is what we had talked about in February when we talked about this last time, was reducing the front setback in all the zones except for the suburban one for the structure but not the garage. So living space or porches or things could be closer to the street. The garage would still need to be 20 feet back to have the parking in front of the garage door.
I agree with that recommendation.
Yeah, I think that opened up more space to build, which is good. And I don't see much of a loss in that. I mean, anyone else? Other than a lot of garages get turned into storage, and then what happens with the cars?
Well, that,
I guess that's not part of
that's the parking, setback.
The parking is still, that's right, the park. You know, my brain will kick in. So yeah, that is void of that.
So if it's a house that the garage comes as far as the living space or farther, it's still the whole thing's still going to be set back. It's just if it's a.
You have to do that with the garage. Yep.
Yeah, some of all them, right. The front porch is out perfect. Farther, and the garage is set back, and those could be closer to the street.
And the only question I would have on the side street setback for a corner lot, if both setbacks were reduced to 10 feet, essentially 23 feet from the curb. Would that make it impossible? I was going to get some piece of paper out and try to do the math on it. Would it make it impossible for that 50-foot clear view?
To meet that.
But if we set a standard that you can't meet it, what's the purpose? What's the point of changing the side street on a corner lot?
You might be able to do.
Right, but we're talking about changing the side street on the corner lot from 15 feet to 10 feet. So why would you change that if it's going to create a situation where you cannot possibly have 50 feet?
Well, I guess it is already 10 feet in the other zones on the side street. And it's, you know, you might be 10 feet from the side street, but more than 10 feet from the front street. It just depends
okay,
on
I follow
you
know, you.
How you
so put you the house it, the, make up the for it on the front street.
You can evade that as long as you maintain the site view.
Yeah, both. You'd have to meet the setbacks and you'd have to meet the clear view triangle.
So you,
you're right. We probably should look at what that.
I get the having the option to change the front setback then could satisfy that 50 foot clear view. So I'm fine with that then.
Okay.
Yep. Same. Anyone have any questions about that?
Questions.
What else do you got for us that you want us to review on?
So
we just blew up townhouses and cottages.
Right. So I think we're going to take out the townhouses. We're going to take out the cottages.
I do have another comment on that, though. I think it does seem like something like that could really meet needs of allowing for more residences and housing more people in a smaller area. And if that's ultimately the goal, then I think if somewhere there's verbiage that developers who might be thinking about ideas, oh, I want to develop an Othello and come across, what can I do? There's verbiage that says that we're open to that, but it would need to be in a planned development. Then at least someone could go, okay, oh, townhouses are a...
So what we could do is in this chart, we could say, you know, instead of allowed, or we could put in a category for planned development as one of the, we could say, you know, instead of a allowed or an X for prohibited, we could say planning and development. So
I like that actually.
That way it's still in the code when the developer is looking around.
Ruth, looks like you like that too.
Yep, Daniel.
I agree.
Wow. I think these guys want to get home earlier.
We're doing that on both of them? The townhouses and cottage?
Yeah. Okay. So we talked about the setbacks. These are things we had talked about last time. Allowing the overhang into the front setback. And I put in the staff report, Alma, you thought maybe the fire chief had a concern about that. I checked with him. He couldn't think of an issue.
I thought I had remembered that from a long time ago.
Yeah, several of you remembered something, and so maybe it was another issue that was
maybe
similar.
Maybe it was.
Hey, still a question mark? And how we measure it?
Well... So, you know, like I said, the code has two definitions that were adopted at the same time and they conflict. So I would like to have just one.
Yeah.
And I'm picking the second one, which is more complicated, has more words, but that is the same way that the building code defines building height. And just for consistency, this always seemed weird to me, but you measure. So for a pitched roof, you measure halfway between the peak and the eave, and that's the height. It seems weird to me, but that's the way the building code does it. So, and mostly in our codes, we just say one story, two story. We don't worry about the height, but sometimes it does come up.
So that would bring more consistency through our code to have it done that way, correct?
Yes.
What are we trying to accomplish?
Hmm?
What are we trying to accomplish by specifying the maximum height?
Somebody put a four-story backyard, or four-story building.
Two-story it says.
I guess you can only go three-story.
Didn't we make something like there's no limit for height? Didn't we do something with that? Is that something separate?
I don't think so.
I could show you a garage on Olympia that would totally make you under, you know, the two-and-a-half-story garage that they built on Olympia Street about
Well, no, I know we're set at two stories, but then when you're saying there has to be, do we have a height that we have to, the maximum height for that? The only one I saw was 60-foot maximum height for a multifamily, I think, in a certain zone. Is there a maximum height?
I think there is, isn't there? And I thought it was...
So an...
Original building or...
But the primary building or accessory building?
Let's just say a primary home and a...
Okay, so a primary building...
R1.
In R1, 2, and 3, maximum of two stories. In R4, 3 stories. In the residential medical, it's 3 stories and 60 feet. Mm-hmm. And S1 is 2 stories.
So there's no maximum height. There's a maximum amount of stories.
Maximum amount of stories. Yeah. And for an accessory building...
You could have 12-foot ceilings.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, there, yep. That's,
mm-hmm. That's what I was
saying. Good point. When you said...
Well, I don't know if I'm making a point. I'm just asking what are we controlling by saying
right.
2 stories if we don't control height?
By a measurement, yeah. You're saying 2 stories, but are we controlling it with an actual measurement or 2 stories?
2 stories. So you can have a, you know, a really steep pitch that's going to be taller than one that's flatter.
You could have a 12-foot ceiling and a 16-12 pitch, and that's going to be a tall 2-story building.
Yeah. Yes.
So I don't know. I don't have necessarily that much of an opinion about it. I'm just wondering if that should be something that's in code.
It's
so
better defined, yeah.
Do you want to set a limit?
Not really.
Thank you.
Just something I wanted to bring up for discussion.
There is a limit for for accessory structure, the height limit of 20 feet. So that addresses
right.
future things like you were talking about.
I just can't get out of my head the high pitch roof you just threw on.
I know of a house that's 16-12 pitch, and it's,
right.
and there was some. It was brought up when it was being built. It was 20 years ago, but probably there wasn't a maximum. But people were saying, "Why is that so tall?" And that's only 2 stories.
Mm-hmm.
It's for snow.
Mm-hmm. And since then, I've never seen the sun in my house, but.
So then we were okay with the verbiage for the height of building.
Well, it's consistent.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back there for a second.
Want to talk about heights more?
Not really. But I think I need to wrap my head around something. No, the definition.
Oh, sorry.
Well, it does have the maximum height on there.
Yeah, but there's 2 different versions of
that. Right. Oh, the old version mm-hmm. versus the...
The new one, or the one we should...
So, when we talk about the definition of height of building, it really only applies in the accessory dwelling unit and the medical zone where it's a 60-foot maximum height.
Also in commercial.
And in commercial, okay. I haven't seen any of that yet. Okay. So that definition is to let us know or let the builders know then this is how we determine height when there is a height limit.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm good with it.
Good question.
Okay, manufactured home currently is defined as a mobile home, which I don't like because those are under the state code. Those are very different things. 1976, there was a change in the national standards and anything built after that is a manufactured home. So mobile homes are only pre-1976. So I looked at a couple different definitions. I kind of like this simple short one, factory-built dwelling to the National Manufactured Housing Construction and Safety Standard Act of 1974. I mean, to me, that's really clear. That tells me exactly what that is. You know, I don't feel like we need to say that it's transportable in one or more sections, you know, all that other stuff.
We have to include all this, correct? To include these, the mobile home, manufactured home, and all that information.
Actually, I don't think we do.
I thought there was something that
we have.
I mean, we don't allow mobile homes in I think any of our zones, correct?
Only in a mobile or manufactured home park.
Do we have any that aren't grandfathered in?
No.
I don't think so either.
But somebody could move one into a park, a mobile home park.
What zone would that
be? So, like the ones that are down there on, is it First?
Yeah,
those are grandfathered.
Right, but
one could be replaced.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you would still want this guideline in.
They can replace one, and then you have to put what up to code once it's replaced.
Yeah. So technically, yeah, that's grandfathered in, but a new home could be put in place of another one.
A new mobile home.
One burns down, they put another one up.
Yep.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah, we actually just recently had this situation where they removed a camp trailer and are bringing, actually I think it's done now, we're bringing in a 1986 manufactured home, which would not, you know, we'd like to see something newer, but the state requires us to allow that.
So some clarification, you said mobile homes are not allowed on any of the
zoning
zones,
on an
manufactured
individual
homes
lot.
Are?
A manufactured home, a new manufactured home,
this is going to start the discussion.
Is allowed on an individual lot.
I thought you had mentioned though that, but it has to be in two sections.
Right. So the state definition of a designated manufactured home is it's at least two sections.
So we're not contradicting that with under manufactured home there?
Nope.
When it says one or more sections?
So I am proposing that we don't adopt this first one, we adopt this second one.
Okay, but where in that does it mention the state requirement of two or more sections?
So that is page 17. Get there. Residential zones, any manufactured home shall be a designated manufactured home as defined in the RCW.
Okay.
But when you were just defining what is a manufactured home, that could actually be one section, and that is allowed in a manufactured home or mobile home park.
I feel like we're defining manufactured home twice.
This is the standards for a residential structure.
So in context, yes, but just pulled out when someone's trying to argue something, but it says right here, I'm just maybe wondering if maybe it should be worded to be more specific, even within that line item.
Which?
So you're saying you want the code to
repeat itself?
There's
a whole bunch of
them. So in
the- I don't know, it's a little confusing. Because
you have it worded this way because it's for two separate things, even though they're both for manufactured homes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's why it's in two different locations of the code.
So one is the definition section.
And
so
the other one is the
zoning, the residential zone.
Okay.
So definitions versus applications.
I have a question.
If that makes sense.
Well, it's starting to. Let me look at it here myself. What page is that, 17?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same?
I think the other page might be 19.
No.
Okay. because there's a lot of high-end manufactured.
Yeah, 19 and 20 are the.
That would be placed on a foundation as opposed to a chassis.
So this is, so when it's transported, I mean, it's built on a.
Built in a different location and transported to here.
No, I understand that. But there's some high-end that don't end up on a chassis. They bring the parts and place them on foundations.
How would
yeah,
that?
The
like
manufactured
the
homes.
House.
And then it's placed on
how
a foundation.
How would that fit within definition?
Yeah.
Right.
And which
what
is,
she just described, would that fit definition
yeah.
of the state of the WAC manufactured home?
If they place it on a concrete foundation, does that change anything?
So we do require them to be on a
yeah,
foundation.
Are.
Even, well, I don't know if this matters now, but even like this manufactured home park down here, those aren't on foundations, are they? And they're not required to?
No.
Okay, but that's different because they are a
grandfather
mobile
did.
Home park.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Ruth, is what you're talking about, is that more of a modular? Mm-hmm. Okay, so that is a different
that's,
creature
yeah,
entirely.
Different definition.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or manufactured, built somewhere else,
yeah.
taken here versus
they
built
build
here.
Them in parts and then they construct them,
mm-hmm.
but they're on a foundation
mm-hmm.
a lot of times, not a chassis.
Yeah, because a manufactured home is built to be transported, you know, all in its section. And so that's
so modular is a different definition than manufactured.
Yes.
As I understood it.
Yes. Even though it is manufactured, I think they're called factory assembled structures.
I just know for this, actually, it's good, John, thanks for being here today. Because I think this is that area where there could be some discussion amongst city council. Just because of the history that they've had to do with dealing with the mobile home park, and I would guess seeing this in definition might get a few questions as to what and why and how. Is that, what do you think about that, John? Is that kind of reasonable with what you've seen in the past? It tends to make a reaction. The what's and where's.
Yeah. Now, like, another thing that I've seen is that a manufactured home is not really relevant. I saw it in Olympia when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a $150,000 home on wheels. And you can put it on a foundation and use it as an auxiliary creating a home. Plus right next to your home. And you know, they're creating these 2-bedroom auxiliary units. Bigger kitchen, 2 bathrooms. It was beautiful.
How would that we're gonna chicken walk, but I'm going there. How would that fit into our current code and something that Councilman Lawless just described? Is there any space for that?
Wheels would be a problem. The wheel part would be a problem. I know that City of Port Townsend has specifically adopted rules allowing the tiny houses on wheels. They were the only ones I knew of specifically, but it sounds like I should look at Olympia as well.
Well, we kind of talked about
the
tiny
wheels are
homes
more,
before.
Isn't it more for tax purposes? Because it's
but
like,
I don't think it
technically,
would,
if it's on wheels, it's mobile.
Modular homes, would it?
Probably still counts as a vehicle then, as personal property and not as.
I think that's
to
the biggest
land.
Thing is more like they'll get these houses and they'll keep them on with wheels because technically they're not foundationed and they don't get taxed.
Yeah, so the way our code is written now, that wouldn't be allowed. You'd have to.
Oh, okay.
You'd have to do a foundation.
Our code wouldn't allow that right now.
Well, I know it wouldn't, but, you know, what was just described is, it's one of these things that, this is why I'm like, oh, do I even want to bring this up, but why not? Let's go there. What was just described, I guess we would wait until somebody asked for consideration for that, correct? And then we would make that decision at that time and see if it's applicable across the board. I mean, I would guess.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Councilman Lawless, based on, you've seen them, so we have it. So it's going to be one of those things, I mean, it would be interesting to see what you just described and how we would view that into fitting into code if it was requested. Sounds like it's something we should consider if it's requested.
There's all kinds of ideas that are coming out within the school of Washington because of the housing shortage that exists. They're looking for more development.
Right.
Very well done. Now I can see somebody building a foundation, you know, to the exact measurements running their water and sewer and stuff right into the concrete foundation, having it all set up and ready to go, backing this unit in there, setting it on the concrete so there's no skirting, it's just on concrete, you know, and then holding the plumbing.
They're already doing it. You just look for the extension cords going from the campers and trailers parked at the town.
No, don't get me started on that.
So then if we're talking something more along.
That's going down a different path.
Already doing it.
More along, like, should that be, I mean, is that?
Given the council's response to accessory dwelling units in general, I'm not sure I want to talk to them about adding ones on wheels.
Okay.
Yeah.
So should we just get this wrapped up and then see how things go? Okay.
That's how I would go.
I mean, I'm good either way.
Just setting the future discussion.
I mean, it's not a bad discussion to have, especially if we're just looking for how many housing options can we add to our code?
I think that when we finish this, I think you're absolutely right.
I think we should start looking at it.
As we start looking for how do we promote more housing?
Yeah.
You know, that may be some of those things that we.
And I think it would fall under its own category altogether, so it wouldn't be something we would necessarily put under this code, right, Anne, or would it?
It wouldn't be under this.
It wouldn't be under this code of manufactured.
No.
No, it would be its own, right? If it came up. Okay. So just so that it doesn't feel like we're going back to something we just completed again when we get there.
Agenda items, we'll revisit it. I wanted to see it just to see the look on Anne's face.
I think
that is something we might want to consider in the future. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we also have revisiting ADUs, so maybe that's where that goes in.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah.
Okay, Anne, I have some clarity on my questions regarding this manufactured home.
Okay.
Verbiage. Under 17.20.080. Performance standards for residential structures is a mobile home park. Are the residences within there not considered a residential structure?
I was thinking about that when you were asking the question before. It would be different in park, and we maybe need to clarify that in the code.
That's what I'm thinking, because right now the definitions are in 1709,
mm-hmm.
and this is 1720, so it's right after it. So we define it, and then we define it again. It's confusing. And I'm looking this through the lens of someone who might have a lot, right, and say, what can I do with this lot? And so they start looking through the code to try to determine that. probably that'll result in less questions that come to you about those kind of things. Hey, it says here, this is what a manufactured home is, but it says here something a little different. If it's really spelled out in the code, probably it's going to be less work for you mm-hmm. and your staff. I don't necessarily have a suggestion for it, but I think you're already thinking about how you could do it differently. And that you know, the suggestion was maybe be more clear distinctions between those two. Yep. Also, another question. Under definitions, you said you liked the shorter definition, which is good. I'm trying to find it now. But in the longer definition, it actually talks about with or without a foundation. The Building Act of 1974, does it require a foundation for manufactured homes?
No, because they can be set up on blocks.
So then with that being said, one, in the definition it says a manufactured home doesn't need a foundation. And then later it says, in that situation, a manufactured home needs a foundation.
But I think that's for, in the code, when you're putting a manufactured home in a residential area, that's where the foundation is required. So I think they fall in two different places, or do they fall in the same area?
Because one is a definition of what it is, and the other is how you do it.
How to, where it's applicable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Good way to describe that.
I hear what you're saying. I don't know if I picked it up, though, when I was looking through, if it was easy for me to see, oh, yeah, that's...
Right.
That's
from a different lens point, yeah.
Yeah, that's not applying to mobile home parks. That's only applying to...
Residential.
Like what? So what's the zone for a mobile home park?
It's actually not allowed in the code as currently written. We've just got the existing ones that are grandfathered
just
in.
Just the grandfathered ones, the only ones that are even allowed.
So I think it should be spelled out for replacement.
Altogether.
having a councilman here today is important because I do think that will be something discussed potentially at city council.
So you're doing a definition. In the definition of a manufactured mobile home, it literally only applies to people who are replacing current mobile homes in a mobile home park.
Got it.
Maybe that should be really clear in the definitions, and maybe that would solve the issue.
Well, except that in a definition, you don't want to put regulations in your definition. Your right. definition is just what it is. Your regulations have to be in your
the
regulating chapters.
Later.
But if we take that second definition, then that takes out all the stuff about the foundation, and so that isn't even a question. You're just, if you go with that second definition.
With the 1970s, the Standards Act of 1974, though, they'll say it says with or without a foundation. Right? I haven't read it. That's why I asked you.
I'm sure it says that and much more about, because that's, if you're building a manufactured home, you have to build to those standards.
So you're okay. I'm not trying to beat a dead horse here.
I'm trying to make.
I don't want to
think through it and what makes sense to. You know, I know the way it makes sense to me, but I've been doing this for a long time, and so.
Now you're talking to a dummy.
I just think that way.
To...
So, it's good to get some questions from other people and. Think it through and think how it looks to people that don't do it all the time.
So a manufactured home definition is how the structure is built. The other line that we're talking about is how the structure is placed upon
yes.
the property.
Yes.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Makes sense now, but it took me a long time to get to that.
Hey,
and I am pretty dumb, but I'm not that dumb. So I just wonder... Anyone else have the same issue?
I think it was good to go. I mean, that, it was, I love what Paul said, because so many times I've tried to explain the difference between definitions and how they act, and the rest of it. And what you said about one area is the definitions, which makes sense. The application of those definitions, where the rubber meets the road.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really
It took me forever to figure out how to recode. And sometimes I look at it, I'm like, wait, is this the definition or is this the application? So even, I mean, code is just, kudos to you, Ann, because code stresses me out.
Everyone satisfied now with that? I had a feeling there would be some discussion on that, so.
We are going to put something in place for like, for these current grandfather homes when they replace that one other one, or?
No, because they'll follow the code that they had always followed prior to. Right? As far as their application of, if they were going to replace one of the mobile homes, they would still follow whatever original requirements they had.
For the grandfathered.
For the grandfathered properties? Or would they have to, because if they had to bring it to code, then they would be required a foundation,
it's like,
wouldn't
it's
they?
It's like the old hotel, right? They did that restaurant.
Way to go, Jose. We were almost past this.
So I'm trying to figure out how to answer your question. There are a lot of state preemptions for the old mobile home parks. And so pretty much they have to, the state allows it. And so they have to, whatever the state requires, that's what they have to make.
And I was just wondering if that would be the case. Because I know in some areas when you do like a remodel, you have to bring it to X amount of code or whatever. I just didn't know if that applied in this instance or not.
Correct. And where do we fit as far for?
So we would have to allow them to do it as is because of state regulations. Okay.
They're pretty protected.
Yeah, and that's fine. It was just
because the cities have been known to try to force them out.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
So it would just be with the whatever the state requirements.
State requirements for those.
We can't
change them.
We can't supersede state law.
Oh, I know that.
We can make it more restrictive to a point, but we can't. If they say they're allowed, we can't say no.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay.
It's actually a really good question. That's, you know, why is that still there? Because until something changes dramatically, it's going to be there.
Right. Basically, until that land gets so valuable that the owner wants to do something else with it.
Right.
Okay. And so is it still grandfathered in if he sells the lot? Or is it?
As long as the application of the lot stays the same, it stays grandfathered.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. I believe even if he wants to sell it, he has to offer it to the tenants first.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's good to know.
Yeah, there's a whole process that I know exists, but I haven't had to figure it out.
Okay.
I'll wait till that happens. So are we okay with this simpler definition? This other one I wrote.
So.
From the existing mobile home definition that we had in the code. And then after I did that, I said, I looked at some other codes and I just like the short and sweet version, and that really captures it. Are they built to that 1974 code? And then that's a manufactured home. And so kind of the same thing with mobile home of, oh.
I was gonna say the homes on First and Elm, I believe. Are those grandfathered in on those lots right on the corner?
Yes.
Because that's not on a mobile home park. It's just on their own property.
Not true.
Those are mobile homes.
But I mean, if they're existing, then yes, they're grandfathered.
Oh, those corner ones.
Okay.
Yes.
I think that's the same situation.
Yeah.
So the answer is yes, those are grandfathered?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So mobile home is a, I tried to, you know, fix up the existing definition, then I decided again to go with the short and sweet version. Basically before 1974, or before the code, they actually were built. It was 1976 when they were constructed, but the code changed in 1974. So we had a definition of mobile home park. We didn't have a definition of manufactured home park. I feel like they go together, but you should include both names because you might have both uses in it. And again, I tried to fix up the existing definition, and then I gave you an option of just rewriting it as, you know, rental spaces for occupancy by two or more manufactured or mobile homes. Okay with that?
Yeah, I think that's good.
Okay. So this was the general provisions chapter. I just picked out a few that were related to what we were working on. So there is this existing general provision that eaves and other things can extend over a side yard, not more than 2 feet, but only a side yard. And so I took that and moved, because we had talked about allowing the overhang into the front yard, also technically rear yard, that rarely comes up, and allow the 2 foot projection into a front yard rather than have that be in the zoning rather than in this general provisions section. These, there's an existing provision for chimneys. I guess we can leave it. I don't know. Tim says he hasn't seen a chimney on a building and like all the time he's been inspecting, but.
You know, now that you've said that, you're gonna see like 5 chimneys, just so you know.
How about for?
At new houses though? I mean, existing ones, sure, but I don't know about new houses.
How about for pellet stoves?
For what?
Pellet stoves.
The what?
The pellet stoves?
Pellet stoves.
Your chimney?
I mean, those are, I mean, I have one in my house.
So this is allowing the chimney to extend into the.
But it does have like a.
Loop.
A little loop thing, I don't know if that's, but.
Chimneys aren't very common anymore, but they could come back.
They could come back, our maintenance though.
So we can just leave it the way it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Accessory building.
Do you use it? No, because it's messy.
Existing provision that accessory building can't occupy more than 25% of a rear yard. I was proposing to delete that based on kind of the planning commission's general direction that you should kind of be allowed to do what you want with your backyard when it doesn't affect your neighbors. So that just seemed like an extra regulation.
Last time, or 2 times ago.
And then this last one, window wells, stairwells can extend into a side yard, or shall not extend into a side yard or a front yard. We can leave that. I thought it was a weird title. When I looked at it, wells, I was thinking like water wells, but.
Yeah, so did I. I had to read it because I was like, that can't be right.
Can you explain to me what it means when it says window wells cannot extend into a side yard? Is it within the 5 feet?
Within that 5 foot. Yeah, it should probably say side yard setback.
Okay.
That would be a good addition.
And also front yard setback. Or can you not have it in the front yard, period? Because what if you are your front yard setback 40 feet? Can you have a window well in the front?
You'd be able to, yeah. I do think we should add setback to that. And then, so then let's change the title of that to window wells and stairwells. Yes, yeah.
Wait, what's the question on the window wells?
It says shall not extend to a side yard. Well, you've got a 40 foot side yard. You can't put a window well next to your house there?
Yeah, no kidding.
Can't go into the setback.
I thought the only place that's a problem is if there's a stairwell.
No window well.
You have.
Because if your house is
into the side yard. Gotcha. Okay. That just,
so you don't want it to say side yard. You want it to say setback. It. Yeah, yeah. It took me a second.
The front yard made a lot of sense, but that window well one doesn't.
And would wells for entry and exit be a good heading? Or would that just be as confusing? Someone figuring, why would I enter a well?
Why would I enter?
I'm thinking just if we call it window wells and stairwells as the title.
That's probably.
I really did. I saw wells, and then I really had to read the wording underneath. I'm like, wait a minute.
And I went, oh.
Yeah, I was.
They are, and then we're not gonna look at them anymore.
Okay, are we done?
It looks like it.
I tried to shorten the meeting, then length it again with my discussion of manufactured mobile homes.
No, I have a feeling we're gonna have that discussion. I was actually one of the things I did want to get clarified. And like I said, it's really good to have Councilman Lawless here. That you want, some of these things we have to look at. We want to vet these things out. So when they get to city council, it's pretty straightforward. And I think that that actually was the area where there could be some, just because of history with things in the past, that I think a few folks would ask questions about that.
So like those road houses, you should have heard that. I love those.
So do we.
They're nice.
And, you know, a lot of times when they do, instead of putting a garage, it's just for the carport.
Would you love it if it was there for one block?
Yeah.
And then a house, and then.
One straight block.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I don't mean one block, one lot.
Yeah, the one.
If there was one lot of row houses and then not any.
Go down to Richmond, and let's say you're going over to Anthony's for seafood, that's all row house.
Yeah, but it's a big, long line. What, we were, what?
So that was a conversation we were having is to, if you just set all the standards, someone could just technically do that on one lot.
See, that's where we are too.
Yeah.
That's where we are too.
Plan development would make more sense, right?
That makes more sense. You know, it's how do you stimulate that?
Yeah, once we put.
But how do you, that's why we had the extra little, the plan development thing added on that one area.
Is a great way to concentrate a lot of people, you know, rather than building apartment complexes and stuff, you build row houses.
We agree.
I think they're beautiful.
I think that's, I think that, and you know, two meetings ago, that was like kind of our whole thing. I liked the discussion today about, we sure, it's a little bit problematic if you had it on one lot.
Well, it wouldn't be one, because you have, they have to be attached. So that would be at least two lots.
So in those situations then, Ann, are each of those lots like 20 feet wide?
Well, depends on how.
Zero lot lines? So we wouldn't, our city code wouldn't allow it because the lot wouldn't be big enough to build on.
Yeah, some codes have.
It's 250 feet deep.
Separate lot sizes for townhouse lots compared to other lots.
But our currently does not.
Ours does not.
But in a plan development.
Oh, yeah. We'd be all over that.
And decide if you tear them all down.
Mm-hmm.
And then build it. And you start four lots, build like four row houses, you know, four feet, you know, in that space. So that they're all, you know, they're all attached, so there's less room that's needed.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
So I do like it in the plan development because I just would like to see it take off from the current city and go out. But you may get somebody that wants to come in and buy four houses, four lots right inside of town and tear them all down and build a nice set of row houses.
But that would be allowed with what we just did. Correct?
Yeah.
No.
Why not?
As we said.
Maybe I misunderstood what you're doing there.
You could essentially build a fourplex that took up almost the whole lot. They wouldn't be connected to each other though in between lot lines. I think the issue you have with it is all of our lots are at least 50 feet wide.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to do row houses when there's only, they're sharing one lot line, right? Maybe I'm not wrapping my head around this, but then it'd have to be, one of the units would have to be 50 feet wide. No one's gonna build a house that's 50 feet wide, that's.
But if you had four lots, you could submit a plan of development.
So that makes, then that makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's how you would do it, you know, so it still could be.
It's allowed, but you have to have.
In fact, you probably have to do it, because exactly what you just said, Rob. So, let's say like somebody buys a block, okay, a block. If they're gonna change the nature of what's allowed for the zoning, but change the nature of what's there, then you would have to do a plan development, you'd have to turn that into, to do it. And then you could do it, then it would still fit the definitions.
So it's good to know that that's an option, I didn't know you could do it with just a certain amount of.
It is an option, it's a public hearing process and the hearing examiner and.
Yep.
It's not.
You would have to change the plumbing, you have to change the sewer, you have to change all that.
By doing this, would it make it more simple to do that? Or we'd still have to go through that all, that whole process?
If we're saying it has to be.
Plan development, then it has to be a plan development.
Well, it's still, yeah, if it's a plan development, it's gotta go through all that anyway. It's still the way to do it, I think, still.
Otherwise, you're gonna end up potentially with it on two lots and then.
Yeah, that ain't gonna work.
And they're gonna be 50 foot wide, so no one's gonna do it, that's, I guess, my.
Does that sound like to fit what you're thinking about, John?
What's that?
That, I mean, so we're still in that plan develop where we talk about somebody buys four lots, buys a city block, that makes sense for, somebody buys one lot, probably doesn't.
Two lots.
Or two lots, doesn't make sense.
Maybe it's profitable for a builder, it would have to be, you know, like four lots.
That's what I think too.
And then you can squeeze eight units or there, you know.
Yeah.
But it is much more reasonable and cheaper to buy and build in a already designated, well, you know, you've got water, you've got sewer.
Right.
Go out and build it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to put that cost out.
Correct.
I agree.
Outside, you know, where if you bought up land that was already in the city and it was reasonable, you could tear those houses down. I mean, it's just like what Roger did out here before, when we bought that ugly eyesore and turned it into, you know, situated complex. It was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice, you know.
When we did, and this is for, because we do have new council members on this. One of the things that we looked at, when we looked at rezoning, was getting around all over town and seeing places where maybe something like that could happen. And how do we zone in a way so that could happen if we wanted, if, you know, where it made sense to do that? And one of the things you have to look at, if you buy a piece of property with a house on it, that house is gonna have to be in pretty bad shape before you're gonna tear that house down. You know, so where does that make sense for potential changes in zones? That kind of comes into play on that. And we'll probably have to look at it again in the future sometime, so. You know, it's one of those, as you drive around town, you go, man, this would look really nice with eight townhouses here or something like that. And where, how do we want to have that zoning versus what's happening right now? How do we want that zoning to reflect that, you know? But still maintain that neighborhood character, you know, if people want to keep that. Places do change.
Now, do we have, does our zoning cover that, those houses right there on 26 on the left side? Where that fruit, you know where they have the fruit thing? The fruit manufacturing, right across the street?
North Grants County.
Where they took all those rocks and boulders?
Yep.
And I know there's tons of property right there, but that's all county, okay.
City ends on that side at, does it extend to the scrapyard? I don't think.
Yes.
It does.
School district.
That's about the end of it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Used to be right there.
Yeah, I would like to see that map back up here and, you know, framed and under glass.
Yeah.
What happened to it?
So many things have changed.
Did we remove it with when we put in the court?
I don't know.
No, that's data.
We remodeled here, but we put that back.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we had this forever.
I'd like to see it framed. look at that with.
It's a nice visual.
Then you know where the city ends. We used to all have maps that used to come out. Do you still have your map?
I have to go through old agenda packets to find the maps when we.
So I go online and look. I was just trying to figure out if we're as far on first. Does it go back and hit? So.
Mm-hmm. I'll send you all a link to the zoning map.
Hey, there we go.
Mm-hmm. You know, but it is nice to see it on a bigger scale because sometimes you're kind of zooming. You can't. Yeah, you have to zoom all the way out, and then it's hard to read. And I mean, it's not that it's undoable, but yeah, having something like that would be really nice. It's a lot of printing.
Well, there is that. I think that's a good thing to bring
great.
Up.
Yeah,
that's great. Was it a zoning map or an aerial photo? I don't remember.
I think it was, yeah.
Zoning map? Okay.
Well, it was an aerial photo of the old one. You should do a new one.
Yeah. I like it.
Have we already annexed the Hampton property yet?
I think
no. I just heard from the assessor last week to approve the petition, so we'll be setting the public hearing for next month on
so
both of the
we
annexations.
We have AJ's in there.
Yes.
But we don't have.
Done in 2003. So that one's been a while.
That's going to be.
I would like to.
That's
point
there,
out
is there
that
more?
We have
is there more down?
The topics of the agenda time? Already.
Yeah. I think we.
So that's the current city
no,
limits,
have.
And then.
Don't we have
a proposal?
You're killing me. Over
yeah, because I just, I know like right there, that was what I was
it's
I was
fine.
Wondering.
Daniel drive me to the ER.
Where that. I think
it's,
yeah. Right.
It's all county.
Yeah.
That's.
Because that's where they scraped all those rocks out. And then I think they just made parcels in there. And they haven't done anything.
It was talked about being annexed at one time, but it kind of felt. Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, private water system there. And
yep.
Department
of
Health
had
thinking about, you know, they're on septics as well. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
So they came to the city and talked to the city about it.
Yep. We talked about it in Planning Commission.
But it was extremely expensive.
Yep. Fizzled.
Ben, is there anything else we need to have discussion on tonight?
Well, so you would you all like a paper map? Is that, or would some of you like a paper map? Is that what you would like?
Yeah, I'm old.
Okay.
I'm okay with just the email, and I'll just pin it at the top of my email, so if I need to reference it,
well,
I can
young,
find it.
So that makes sense.
How big of a map are you talking?
Well, you have your choice. I can do 11 by 17, or I could do the full size, like 3 by 3 foot by 4 foot, or probably we can do in between.
I mean, if you're offering.
I mean, I might change my mind. I was just thinking. Like,
you already said. You already said.
I'm like, I don't need a little paper. It's fine. I'll pin it.
She just wants a PDF. She said. I think like a.
I'm reading these at home, and I'm trying to get the zone.
Hmm?
Would a normal size be for
better,
architectural? 30 by 18 or something like that.
They don't call it a little.
Fold it up. That would be nice to be able to reference that. To be able to take it out.
I struggle when I'm trying to like zoom in and look at an area.
Bring a few different sizes, and people can.
Yeah.
And just make sure you bring that PDF. Digital.
Oh, here we go.
That's all you want. Digital PDF.
That's all what I want.
Looking at my phone.
He can't even put his password into a computer. And then
when you get getting personal now, sorry.
Yeah. So you know I know.
Right. I'm going to bring things back into the realm. It's good to have some of these. I'm going to bring it back into the realm of what we're supposed to accomplish tonight. And did you have anything else for us? Because either side of me is getting restless and poking me right now.
I mean, I'm looking at the agenda and it looks like we did complete it all.
Yeah, you've only mentioned that 6 times.
Now. I'm just saying we were so productive that we should reward ourselves by going home.
Yeah.
I second that motion.
Chili.
Oh. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Oh.
I seconded Daniela made the motion.
I didn't get a chance to call it. This is what's happening. All right, it looks like the vice chair has already taken the vote. I might be a little out of order, but it's good enough for me. Meeting adjourned, 7:16. Thank you, everybody.
Good job, Chairman.
Boy, oh boy, let's see, we got out early at the last one. We're gonna